spiritual light is the light, is the word. When it's your word for this day, when it's manifest, that is the light, spiritually speaking, right? And so it says the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So there's the light is shining, and the darkness can look at it, but they don't understand what it is. They look at it, they don't see it as light. There's something wrong. 1 John 1 and 5, it says, this then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Brother and sister, he said, I'm Alpha and I'm Omega. There's a Alpha was pure light, Omega is pure light, but in between there's a cloudy day of mixture, mixing light with darkness because of the false word and the impure word that the church was living on, because the light had been lost down through the dark ages, but as it's coming up all the way through the Reformation and to this day, it gets brighter and brighter. And even though, you know, like Luther had some things that were right and some things were wrong, Wesley had some right and wrong, Pentecost had things right and wrong, but at the opening of the seals, we went back to the pure word, and when that pure word comes, after that, God only accepts pure word, which is pure light, all right? So, that's just kind of a foundation. Let me talk a little bit about Brother Branham said about this. I got a lot of quotes to read. I'm going to try to read fast so I don't keep you here all day. Brother Branham's in Shalom 1964, he said, a few months ago, I preached for a series of meetings at the Tabernacle on the seven church ages. You remember? And when I finished drawing out on the blackboard the seven church ages, how the light come in and how the light went out, I guess you have that here somewhere. It's among us, he said. The strange thing on the last day when the last church age was drawn out, this great pillar of fire came down among hundreds of people, took itself back to the back wall of the tabernacle, and there before these hundreds draw those church ages, darkening and lighting it just exactly the way I had drawn it on the board, mysteriously. Can you imagine if you would have been there? Brother Branham, he had a board up here. He was drawing all the, and you've seen it. I don't think we have a picture here, but you've seen it all, you know, how the seven church ages and the eclipse of the moon, it gets lighter and darker, and then lighter and all how it does that. And Brother Branham drew that exactly on there, and there it was there on the board in front of everybody, and the light, the finger guy came back and drew those out on the black, on the back of the wall of the tabernacle. Can you imagine if you're sitting there watching that? That'd have been amazing, wouldn't it? There's two witnesses right there. Brother Rand said this, the moon is the wife of the sun. It is the lesser light, and then also that when the sun is gone, in the absence of the sun, the moon reflects the light to the earth, which is a type of the church. So he said, now, when the moon, when the sun is gone, remember he was Alpha, but then we lost that because of the dark ages, and the church went to the ground, and it died out, and it came up with all the Catholic dogma and everything like that, and so it wasn't the pure light anymore, and so it's just reflecting the sun. It wasn't the pure sun itself. But what happens is, as there's an eclipse, the moon, the earth gets between the moon and the sun, and so you see less and less light reflected by the sun. All right? He said, when the Pope leaves, the ancient enemy of the church, and comes over to Jerusalem, which is the seat of the church, which is the New Jerusalem, not the Old Jerusalem, we notice, before it did it, there was a total blackout of the moon. All right? And in the papers across the nation, as we have on the board, it displayed how that moon turned from light to darkness. The very phenomena of it, that the moon draws, drawn exactly in the sky, is the same thing the Holy Spirit had me draw here 2 years ago, showing the covering. When it went in six pictures, I put the seventh on there, because the seventh church age was just a shadow light, just the going. That's where Jesus at the door knocking, but it goes into total darkness. So the seventh church age went into total darkness, and when the Pope came over to America, the God displayed it in the sky with the eclipse, and it showed the exact same signs. And what he's talking about is when the people took pictures of it, and they put that in the newspaper, it was exactly the same way as he had drawn it on the board, and God had drawn it on the back, and God is saying, I'm showing it in the word, I'm showing it on the back of the wall there, I'm showing the heavens, I'm proving to you that this is true, because they have three witnesses right there, and even the newspapers put it in the same way. You can't argue with that. People want to come and say, well, Brother Brown is a false prophet. Explain that. Who made that up? Come on, man. Look, think about it, friends. Look what God is doing. But it was a total blackout. And that means that seventh church age, it goes completely out. And then he brings it back to Revelation where God is. He said, I'm on the outside knocking, trying to get in. Because when he's on the outside of the church, there's absolutely no light in the church. Because Christ is the light. And when that word is not being manifest for that day, it's not being manifest through the church, then Christ is completely on the outside and there's a total blackout. And out of that church age, now when Brother Branham wrote it, he said he put a little bit of light at the end. That is not indicating that church. We're going to find out in a minute. It's indicating the bride age when he says, rise and shine for the light has come. Because that is the light, because we are still in the Laodicean church age, but we've been raptured up out of it. Because brother and sister, when you are born again by the word, it's the word birth. It's the perfect word because the seals are open. And when you are born by that, that is your new birth. It is your marriage and it is your rapture all at the same time. If you've been born again, you're married to Jesus Christ. If you've been born again, you are already in the rapture. You can't get out. It's already happening. Let me tell you something. Just Friday, I was at work and talking to this lady, and she's Baptist, I believe, and she's just, you know, a typical person. And she starts talking about the rapture. And you would have thought she was a message believer. She said, I think when the rapture goes, most people aren't going to know it. It's going to be like he just secretly gone, and people are going to go on doing the same thing they're doing, and the rapture's already gone. Friends, the Baptists are seeing that. The denomination people are seeing, nothing against her. I it's a wonderful person, really good person. But if they're seeing that, where are we? Because if they're seeing that, we're way, way into the rapture process. We're way into it because they're just coming, you know, they're seeing what we saw years ago. But we should be way down the road from that and say, hey, we're seeing this happening. Boy, that's exciting. I think it is. Let me read some more here. We find that the moon in the heavens is to reflect the light of the sun in the absence of the sun. So when the sun is being put out by worldliness, remember, worldliness comes in, it blocks out the sun, and so it's just a reflection off the moon, but you cannot see it. So the light is not coming directly from the sun because it's not pure, because, oh my goodness, to be pure, it's got to be him married to the bride. It's got to be that oneness. And when you're mixing the seed, when you're mixing the word with some man's made idea, he cannot be one with the bride in that time. And so you're born again. You have the same Holy Spirit, but you don't have that exact oneness where he's the Omega bride because there's a mixture. So he has to stay back. And all we can do is reflect his light instead of be the light. But we're past that, friends. If we're only reflecting the light, we're missing it. It gives us light to get around. No matter how much it reflects, it's still not the perfect light because it is reflecting. And the sun shines against the moon, and the moon reflects its light in the absence of the sun. But when the sun comes up, then the moon is not needed no more. Friends, when that moon was completely blacked out, it was because it wasn't needed anymore. You say, we don't need the church? Of course we need the church. That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying we don't need a church that doesn't have the pure word anymore. We're no longer just a reflection of it because we have part man idea and part God's idea. He says all that man's idea is gone and it's just pure word. And then he can be married to you and it's a perfect light shining out through you. It's no more just a reflection. You are the light of the world. Go ahead and admit it, profess it, accept who God says you are. Oh my, let me keep going. Darkness, this Laodicean church age, when Jesus, which is the word, and the Laodicean church age was on the outside of the church, knocking at the door, trying to get in, darkness, gross darkness on the people. Was the Bible right? The perfection of the scriptures. We see that exactly happening. We have watched that. We have grown up and seen these words exactly happening down through time as we've been here. It's the fulfillment of the scripture. He said the Pope's visit was a sign of the church blackening out his manifested word. The manifested light of the world was the Bible. The manifested light of the world was the Bible. This is the light of the world when it's manifested, not just in this book form. That's why millions of people can quote this and read this and believe it, but until it's manifested, it's still just darkness. The letter kills. The manifested or the vindicated scripture is the light. That's it, friends. That's the word test. You know, so many people, you know, Brother Branham said, give them the word test. And for so many people, that means, do you believe what I believe? That's not the word test. That's the theology test. Is what is God bringing to pass? God interprets it by bringing it to pass. And when you see that happening, when you see him interpreting it, that's the word test. What does God say about it? Well, I believe it this way, Brother Phil. I believe it this way. I believe it a way too. But when God steps up and makes it happen, there's your word test. There's your proof. What is God doing? Besides that, you're just a denominational Christian. Amen. Banner year for message believers, right? People have heard what Brother Branham said about that and talked about it and preached about it and did all kinds of things over the years. How many people walked away from the message when the rapture didn't go in 1977? The prophet was wrong. Hang on a second. Prophet wasn't wrong. Let me read what he said. I got three quotes where he's talking about 1977. Let's see if the prophet was wrong. We believe that the Laodicean church started in AD 1906. I predict, now remember, predict, especially when you're listening on the tape. I don't say it will be, but predict that it will end by 1977. It did. The Laodicean church age, as far as God dealing in that church, ended in 1970. By then, it's not like an axe comes down and chops off. He blends one age to the next. And so here he's preaching this in 1960, he was preaching this. Okay, so he had 17 years to 77. And between that time and 1977, it completely blacked out. And so that there's absolutely no more light. Christ was complete on the outside of the churches knocking to get in. Not for the believers. But anyone who mixed the word. See, that's what the definition or the difference was, is when the seals were open, the Bible became a whole new book. And after that, you had to accept what the seal said. You could not accept something else outside of the pure word. Now, it wasn't just a chop off like some people said. Well, by 1963, if you weren't born again, you couldn't be. That's ridiculous, because there's not a chop like that. But by 1977, God had given plenty of time to say, you either completely accept what I'm giving you, you completely accept the message, because I'm no longer dealing in the church, because you put me out when you don't take the pure word. And they were in the total darkness by 1977. There is no more Christ in those denominational churches. It was the end of that church age for them. Now, naturally, we're still there. Absolutely. Because we don't get another church age to go into. He said that it will end by 1977. The church will go completely into apostasy, and she'll be ousted out of the mouth of God. That's what it was. Did that happen? Absolutely. And people want to be born again outside of the message of the hour since then? I'm sorry. According to the Bible, it didn't happen. According to the prophet, it didn't happen. Before that, yeah, there was still a little bit of light. He was still accepting it up to that point. And it's not a chopping, like I said, you know, it's a blending. But by then it was over. He said the church will go completely into apostasy. She'll be ousted out of the mouth of God. And the second coming or the rapture of Christ might come anytime. He said might come anytime after that. He said I can miss that a year, miss it 20 years. I can miss it 100 years. Was he right? Later on, he says, the Laodicean age began around the turn of the 20th century, perhaps 1906. How long will it last? As a servant of God who has had multitudes of visions, of which none has ever failed, let me predict. I do not say prophesy, but predict that this age will end around 1977. What was so hard to understand about that? Because we are still looking at it through our own lenses. Our denominational lenses, our filters, our own thoughts instead of the Holy Spirit. One more time. Based on these seven visions, along with the rapid changes which have swept the world in the last 50 years, I predict, I do not prophesy, that these visions will all have come to pass by 1977. Though many feel that this is an irresponsible statement in view of the fact that Jesus said, no man knoweth the day nor the hour, I still maintain this prediction after 30 years because Jesus did not say no man would know the year, the month, or week in which his coming was to be completed. So I repeat, I sincerely believe and maintain as a private student of the world, of the word, along with divine inspiration, that 1977 ought to terminate the world's systems and usher in the millennium. It did. What world system? I'm not talking about nations. He's talking about the churches. It was the end of God dealing in those denominational churches. They completely said, after this, I'm completely done with that. I will not anymore work in that. You say, well, I see them doing all kinds of things, denominational system. You keep that thought. Got something else for that too. He said he's about to usher in the millennium. He is. He is ushering in the, what does it mean to usher? It's not a chop. What if you had, if you have a wedding, right? And there's ushers. What do? They take people, they walk them down, and they sit them in their pew. They go back someone else, they walk them down sitting in their pew. This is getting me happy. What has been going on? The ministry has been taking people and ushering them to the body of Christ and say, this is your position in the body of Christ. This is your position in the body of Christ. And they're ushering us in one at a time, and bring you to a place where you say, I am part of the body of Christ. This is who I am. This is where I believe. Yes, there's ushering in the millennium. And when that last person has come to their position in the body of Christ, when that last person has come to their position in the body of Christ, we're going to have it going away. And it's all about ushering in the millennium. It's happening, friends. We're in the process. Oh, my. You got to have to bring something harder than that to convince me the prophet wasn't right. Tell you what, just because it doesn't fit the way you thought it would and we're supposed to go by your idea, get real. So where are we at then, friends? What are we supposed to be doing now? If this, and this is, wait, look how many years we are past 77. About 25 or 45, I should say. Something like that, right? It's a long time. And where are we at now? What are we supposed to be doing? Ephesians 2, 19 says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We used to be strangers and foreigners. What happened? Someone ushered us into the body of Christ. And now we understand who we are. I'm no longer a stranger. I belong here. You don't have to like me. I don't care. I still belong here, and I'm your brother, so you might as well just get used to it, because brother and sister, we're going to spend eternity together. We're recognizing who we are. We've been ushered into this. We are part of that. We're not foreigners anymore. We look around, we see brothers and sisters. He said, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Listen, where is this body built on? It's built upon the foundation, the bride of that day. Oh, my. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. This is so important because the bride, the initial bride, that was it. They were the light. They were the alpha ministry. They were the alpha manifestation to Christ. And they are the foundation of which the rest of the body of the Christ is being built on. But remember, he said, I am alpha and I am omega. So if the foundation was built on the bride of Christ, the headstone, the capstone also has to be the bride of Christ. You can't make it something different. So that's who we are, friends. We are. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you what the prophet said because I can't keep still. We are the manifestation of the capstone sitting on top of the bride of Christ. We are the headship. You, friends, are part of that word. You are part of that headship. You don't believe it? Yes, you do, but let me prove it anyways. This is what the prophet said. Oh, my, I got too many papers up here. That's my problem. Let me go back and read this again. 1 John 1:5. This then is the message that we have heard, declaring to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So if he said, arise and shine, your light has come, the glory of the Lord has shone upon you, and we're not part of that gross darkness, then we must be part of that light. All right? He said this then, in there, there'd be a time come when he could express himself in fullness of his Godhead, deity through his church. Did you hear what he said? Fullness of his Godhead. What can do that? The only thing can do that is when we have the pure word, we're not mixing it with something else, because when you mix it with something else, you're a prostitute. You are prostituting the word. He said, you're a whore. He said, you know, the words he used in Revelation, and we are not part of that church. The only way you cannot be part of that is when you have the pure word, you only take the pure seed. Anytime you take a man-made seed, you're mixing the word, you're hybriding it. He said he could express himself in fullness of his deity through his church, not through that man who walked there and was crucified, but through his church. He did it through the first church. He's doing it through the last church. Have preeminence in his church, the anointed man, not the anointed people, to bring back the anointed bride and bridegroom, excepting when Eve turned down and Adam coming back, anointing of the word. He said, my word is spirit, anointing with that word. While Eve turned down, he comes back and we accept. See now how that hybrid condition again, just exactly what he done to Eve. It's what he's trying to do in this church. It's what he is doing, what he had done. And because he hybrid the word down through those church ages and down through all the way to the end, God said, finally walked away and said, I'm done with that. I'm no longer giving them mercy for that. You cannot be bride and mix the word anymore. Down through the church ages, there at a time you could be bride and mix it, but you can't do that anymore because you have no excuse anymore. He's no longer winking at the ignorance. Brother Branham said he winked at the ignorance of those people because that's all they had available. But when there's more available and you don't walk in that, he said, you have no more mercy. You will not be in my bride because I will only take a pure virgin bride of Christ. He's not going to take you if you don't have the pure word. You think I'm just talking about denominational churches, don't you? No, you know better than that. He's not dealing with that anymore, friends. It's got to be around the message of the hour. That's the only light there is. Satan's got that. He's not worried about that. He's coming around here. He's in the framework of the true church. So let's not keep putting it off out there. He said, see all those branched off there like a leaf. Remember, when it went down and the grain began to ripen, you find that before that grain can ripen, everything in that stalk has to be dead. Think of it. Wheat rises, right? You know, it grows up, it's green, and it comes, and it keeps developing and ripening. But when, at the very end, just as it comes to that final ripeness, the shuck itself pulls away. It's nothing left. The only life is in that wheat seed itself. Everything else is dead. And that's why everything else is darkness and gross darkness. There's no light out there, friends. He say they have wonderful services. I'm talking message churches now. Don't be thinking Baptist or Catholic or Amish. We're going to show what I'm talking about. I forgot to tell you the name of this message, didn't I? I'll tell you now. The moon is insane. The moon is insane. Because they think they're right. That's what I'm getting to. Boy, I've got this all chopped up. He said, can't you see where we're standing? Life is in the grain again. What is it? Just exactly like the same grain that went in the ground, Alpha. Same grain, the same Jesus in the bride form. Same power, same church, same thing, same word, Omega. This is who we are. You've heard this for years, friends. We are in the manifestation of it. This is happening. I hope you see it. Isaiah 60 is in effect since 1977. And even before that, for the people who saw it. But it's completely in effect because that gross darkness is on the people. I don't care. It doesn't matter if they call themselves message believers and quote the prophet and preach and everything. That doesn't count, friends. It's got to be the manifestation of the word for your day. You see how the church has come from Martin Luther, justification, Wesley, sanctification, Pentecostal. It's the Holy Spirit like capping the pyramid. Now he's honing it down. Remember the pyramid head on the back of our American dollar? The great seal was missing. He is the headstone, the rejected. So it's just making it so close it has to fit right in. I think I mentioned this several messages ago on speech. I used to think that that was us coming all the way and then him on the rapture coming down and sitting on the headstone. That's not the way it is at all, friends. It has to be his ministry reproducing itself again in his church for the rapture. While we're right there, friends, it's the church. The bride has to be the end time bride. This age has to be that headstone. is a manifestation of it. God was in the beginning here coming down through the prophets on down until God himself became like a human, like as plumbed down to the foot of the ladder, a baby born in a manger, hated, rejected, despised, a bad name, and everything he was. He started rising, and from the feet he began to build the church, the bride coming back and on back. Now, coming out into the headstone where it all joins together and makes the one great transfigured body of Jesus Christ. Now he's in the headstone. It's right now. It's got to be matter. You cannot start a body and say, well, I'm going to start with the feet of a bear. I'm going to legs of a goat. I'm going to have the body of a lion. No, it's all got to be human. It's all got to be the same substance. So if it started out, the bride was the foundation. It's got to be the bride is also the headstone. It's got to be the same substance. It's got to be the same thing. You can't make it something different. The bride is a manifestation of the headstone. It has to be the same thing. Has to be the light. That's why he could not do it when we're just a reflection, because it wasn't the pure light. We cannot be the reflected light. We have to be the light itself. You say, Brother Phil, I'm making so many mistakes. Oh my. Does someone really think that? Please don't. It's not you live perfect enough to be light. That's not it. Get that legalistic idea out of your head. It's not trying to live good enough to go in a rapture. It's not trying to be good enough to be the bride of Christ. You are that because God ordained you for that. And all he wants you to do is recognize it and confess it. And then you watch these worldly things fall away. Come on now. We're way past that. And the Word and God is one in his church today, making it the headship of the body. The prophet said, "The word and one in bride is one with." I'm sorry, let me quote it. And the word of God is one in His church, making it the church, the headship of the body. This is who we are. This is where we're standing. This is the light of the world. Which means this. Let me read another quote. Which means this. His word, which He is, has began to be risen. The word that down through the age of Luther, Wesley, has begun to raise up in his power, then it began to move, then it moved a little more. Now it's coming up to identification. What does identification mean? It means when I see somebody, I can identify you. I can see your face. If I just put, this is going to sound weird, but if we just took all your heads off and put your bodies against there and all I had to identify you by your body, it'd be a lot more difficult, right? I know that sounds weird, right? We're not going to do that. But if I see your face, I can identify you right away. That's the same thing. He's identifying himself by the headship himself, the very presence of God. And you can look right at him and you can see that's Jesus Christ, his headship. Now to the life in the body is a vindication of the rapture is at hand. If you can see the life, what is it? It's the light of the world. It's the word for this day being manifest through human beings. And when you can recognize it, it's the vindication that the rapture is at hand. Friends, we don't have to look out and see the darkness of the world to know the rapture is at hand. You just need to look in the mirror of God's word and you see him reflecting back. And you look in there to see word and you see Phil. And I look to see Phil and I see the word. And brothers and sisters, that means the rapture is at hand. And it's well on its way. It hasn't just started. It started years ago. And we're just one step away from that body change. My. Oh my goodness, that my mind can't handle this. My mind can't comprehend it. But something inside says, yeah, but it's still true. So go ahead and say amen to it. Don't try to figure this out in your mind. Don't worry about that. Just believe what he says and watch it change your nature. Watch it change your desire. Watch it change what you want from this world. Watch the worldly things fall away. Oh my, what is it? That world, the world completely gone. Trying to calm down so I can talk, but I tell you what, you guys are pulling a little too hard. So, friends, just focus on Christ, and you're going to find out that you just see him being formed in you. That's why we go to church, because when you come to church and the word is being preached, it has that effect on you. It keeps bringing you farther and farther, closer and closer to him, and then you go home, and you don't want to, I don't want to just leave God at church. I want to be with them all the time, and you pray, and you listen to the tapes, and you stream, and you read your Bible, and you hang around, and you fellowship around the word, and it just has the effect, that atmosphere, because if you put that seed in the right atmosphere, it has to grow. It cannot help but grow if it's in the right atmosphere. It's watered by the Spirit, and you keep it in the sunlight, and it comes to maturity, and it grows and grows, and it gets riper and riper, and you see more Christ because you're in the right atmosphere. Brothers and sisters, so many people think, is it wrong to do this? Is it wrong to do that? Just stop worrying about that and stay in the right atmosphere, and it will bring Christ to pass. Oh, we just still focus so much on rules to follow. Can you do this? Can you do that? Well, I got a question. Does that harm your relationship with Christ? Because if it does, yes, you need to stop it. And if it doesn't, and you do it anyway, that's just legalism. Boy, think about that. Well, I think it's wrong to do this. I think I'm wrong to do that. Does it harm your relationship with Christ? Well, no. Then what are you worried about? Well, I believe, that I believe is a demon. It's a religious devil. If you're trying to put that on, let me get back here. If it's the word, do it. Because if you don't, it's going to harm your relationship. If it's just your idea of what makes you holy, then you've probably got a Pharisee spirit. Let me get back to what I'm talking about. The life in the body is a vindication of the rapture is at hand. When you see the headship and the body becoming one, and the fullness of the measure of his manifestation shows that the body is about ready to be received to the headship. Friends, that's what we are now experiencing. I hope you see it. I hope you would say, yeah, this is me. When I'm saying this, I hope you're recognizing this is what's happening with me. I hope it is. Because if it's not, friends, you're in a bad place. The fullness of the measure of his manifestation. The word for this day. Not for what they had 20 years ago. Not for 40 years ago. Not for 5 years ago. Right now. You have to be growing in it. Body is about ready to be received to the headship. Maturity of the bride. Let me read a couple more, then we're going to... Yeah, I'm right on time. Today, the veil of tradition hides the word again, saying it's not so. But it is so. God testifying of it, blasting himself right out as bright as the sun before everyone, and they fail to see it. We're right back to the brightness of the sun. This is the word for this day. No one else has light. The Alpha is the foundation. The Omega is the capstone. And it's all bright, manifesting itself through the bride. You say, Phil, what does it have to do with the sun, the moon being insane? 2 Corinthians 11:12 says, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Because they will glory in something besides Christ. Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. John 3 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So we see Satan comes and pretends to be light. It's got to be deceptive. It has to be the most deceptive age. This is the final deception, the final test, as it were, that Satan is coming and saying, see, I am exalted. I sit on the throne of God. You will worship me. Remember, friends, we're talking about message believers here. Because other thing, nothing else is going to be deceptive to the bride. It's got to be so close. And everyone but the bride is going to be deceived by these false anointed ones that Paul's talking about. If you haven't done so recently, I recommend you go and listen or read False Anointed Ones at the End Time again. Because without that, we would be in a hard place to understand what's going on in this day. But with that, we can see where we're standing. And we can keep from being deceived. So, let me kind of finish up here on this.
Isaiah 13 says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellation thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth. The moon shall not give her light to shine. I'll punish the world for the evil, the wicked for the iniquity. I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. So we're going to see, he says here, at this end time, there'll be a time when the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not cause a light to shine. You say, well, how in the world is the sun going to be darkened? You're talking about this brightness in this brighter day. How is the sun going to be darkened? Well, in 1977, the total blackout of the moon, what happened? That total eclipse. Here's the sun, here's the earth, and here's the moon, and the world gets between the sun and the moon, completely blacks it out. Worldliness blacked out the moon. The church had no more reflection of Christ because worldliness had taken over completely. It was worldliness, right? 40 years later, 2017, a generation, God's number of judgment. Remember what happened? Solar eclipse across the entire United States. Y'all remember that? We would come outside, we stood there and watched, we had our glasses on. And we see there's the sun right above us, and we see the moon coming, and it completely covers over the sun, blacks it out, and it gets dark. It started on the west coast in Oregon. That dark shadow crossed the United States, went off our east coast in South Carolina. God's showing in the sun, in the sky, what's going on. Can I tell you something, friends? That moon going across there, that's not the denominational churches. That's a message. That's message, so-called believers. Because it's trying to darken out the sun. Now, look at this. That moon, when you looked at it, that moon was not reflecting any light at all. There's no reflection on it. It got in the way of the sun, tried to block off the sun from the earth. Remember, the lunar eclipse, the world got between the sun and moon. This time it's the church getting between the sun and the people, the sun and the earth, so that it would try to block out and darken the sun. That's the deception. I will exalt myself. I will be like the Most High. I will be the bride of Christ. I will get there and I will be exalted. I will be worshipped. What was it, brother, sister? Now look at this. How is that deceptive? Because if you look straight at that eclipse without your glasses on, you go blind. Remember that? They gave you they said, well, you can look at it because it's not a dark, but there's enough light shining around the edge of the moon to make it so you would still go blind. And that's exactly what these message preachers have done, these message believers have done. If they have completely darkened out, they have completely walked away. They have preached the message, but if there's any bit at all, even one word in there, there's no more light. I don't care how well they preach the message of the hour. If they have mixed anything in there, there's no light. It's total darkness. But they have enough of an anointing, enough of a light to be deceiving and blind the people if they don't have the correct filter, which is the Holy Ghost. And you can discern it by the Holy Ghost. Besides that, you will look at those ministers, you will look at what they're preaching, and you will look at the signs and wonders that follow their ministry, and you will go blind. Has to be that way. We know it's going to be this way. It has to be. This is the age for it. And you can go online and you can stream minister after minister and you look at their ministry and they have amazing, powerful ministry and the Holy Spirit falls and everyone's shouting and jumping and worshiping and it's a great atmosphere. It is. It's the Holy Spirit. But they focus on their anointing and their signs and the wonders and the gifts and all this kind of stuff instead of the manifestation of the word. How do you tell the difference? Brother Branham told us over and over, give it the word test. Is the word being manifest? Is the word being preached? Or are they just focusing on, look at the signs and wonders that I can do. Look at the signs following my ministry. I can preach a message and people come to the altar. I can preach a message and you can be healed and you can be delivered and you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and it can be completely false. It has to be this way, friends. It has to be. Otherwise, it's not deceptive enough. You give it the word test. He didn't say give it the spirit test. Well, we got the spirit here. That's not the test. Well, I have signs and wonders. I have healings. I can raise the dead. That's not the test. It's not a sign test. It's not a spirit test. It's not a theology test. It's a word test. And the word test is God interpreting that word and bringing it to pass. That's the only light. That's the only light. And everybody will be deceived except for the elect. And if you can see that, friends, if you can see the difference, and you can recognize, yeah, that's a great ministry. That ministry, he has great power. He has great gifts. But where is the manifestation of the word? And what they do, friends, is you start having it's an addiction they have to feel. You come to church to get pumped up, to get the next hit of your Holy Ghost drug. And you come to church and you shout and you scream and you dance. You go back out there and nothing has changed in your life. You just got more religious. But where is the revelation of the word happening through you when you see your nature change, when you see things changing in your life that you can't change? It's not just, well, I shouted in church. Well, praise the Lord. Demons shouted with you. Devils, demons, they love coming to church in those atmospheres. They're the original worshipers, friends. They know how to worship. They cannot worship all of us. I am not preaching against shouting and jumping and worshiping because we have to have those. Those are necessary, but that's not the test. That's not whether you got it or not. That's just your appreciation for what you see God doing in your life. And brother and sister, when you're shouting about the same thing, the right thing, you can shout whether you felt an anointing or not because you see what God is doing in your life. Oh, hallelujah. Doesn't you might be feeling like a dead as a cement block, but you're going to raise your hand and worship God anyway because you know that he has promised you something and he's bringing it to pass. And I don't care if I feel stupid, if I feel dead, I don't care. It has nothing to do with how I'm feeling because it's not a feeling test either. It's the word test. And they have great gifts. Friends, I've listened to it. I've been online many times. I've listened to so many ministers over the last couple of years, and it's just amazing, and they can preach amazing messages. And what they do, friends, is they will bring the people to a higher place. The ministry will raise their face up. Do you know what they hardly ever do? They hardly ever bring a rebuke. Because people don't want to be rebuked. You know what they'll rebuke you for? Not amening enough. Because amen raises faith. You know, this person's amening, and the next person's amen. And it's like the Holy Spirit gets encouraged, as it were. You know, the higher the faith rises. And so everyone starts getting into the message, and everyone starts really pulling on it. And they have a need, and they think they're getting what they need. And then, you know that, it might happen, and God can absolutely set them free from something. Right there under that ministry. And how do you tell that person that they're not born again? How do you tell that person that that minister is not born again? You can't. Because they've been blinded by that completely dark moon, but with enough light shining around it to think that it's light. The moon itself, completely dark. That's the age we're living in, friends. That moon is insane. Because if you try to put out the light of the sun, brother, you know the quote Brother Branham said, a man said, I refuse to see the light. He runs down in the basement, locks the door, says, I don't believe in light. I'm not going to see it. That's exactly what's happening around this message today. Because when the word comes and it's going to try to bring a rebuke and try to show, yeah, but this is wrong. They say, oh, no, 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 no. I got it. I know who I am. I know when I was born again and I have anointing on me and I'm going to keep going the way I'm going. You're insane. Where is the light of the word in your life? Well, I have signs and wonders found, and so did Judas. You've heard of Jannes and Jambres, right? They came out with Moses, and they did the exact same thing Moses did. And that, Brother Branham said over and over, that same thing has to happen again in this day. And let me tell you what, that is exactly what's happening today in so many message churches and so many message preachers. And I'm not just putting on the preachers, because there's plenty of people sitting in pews under that same anointing and thinking they got something because they're anointed or because they're gifted. Well, I can sing really well. Well, I can worship. Well, I can shout. I have a gift of healing. That's all wonderful, and we need those in operation in the church, but none of those is any proof that you're anything more than just a lukewarm Laodicean, eyes blinded and don't know it. Is this not the fulfillment of Revelation 3, the Laodicean church age? We're seeing it right around us. And brother and sister, when you can recognize, oh God, help me. When you can recognize it and you see that you have not been blinded, that should get you out of your seat. That should get you shouting. That should say, praise God, hallelujah. I can see the false. Because so many of those people, they had to point to something that's really obvious around the message, like the tapes only. That's tapes only. That's so obvious. That's false. It's not deceptive anymore, but that's what they had to preach. I still preach against that spirit so it don't come and affect us. But brother and sister, it's got to be something that's so close that you look right at it, and naturally, with your natural eyes, you cannot tell the difference. But there's an unction inside you. And it says there's something not quite right here. There's something. There's just something that is not, it just doesn't mesh. There's just something wrong here. Oh, brother and sister, and it makes you feel horrible for those people because they are the best people in the world. Next to you all. They are. And they're people we love. They're being bound. This is the time to bind the tares. Gather the wheat to the barn. We're in that. We're manifesting that, friends. And it's that deceptive moon, that insanity moon, that's binding them. Because they can fulfill some. They can perform for them. Can demonstrate signs and wonders. Signs and wonders will follow you, the believer. They will. They also follow the make-believer, friend. Otherwise, there's no deception. And here's the really sad part, friends. They don't know. They're deceived. They don't know better. Eve didn't know she was deceived. Can I read you something about that? Notice Eve at the same stage, carried away by her supernatural understanding. Whew. Message believers, 2022, carried away by the supernatural. It is supernatural. It is. There's much supernatural. She had a theological experience. Her education was supreme to any theologian in the country at that time. She was so carried away, she didn't know it. They go to these churches and they shout and they sing and they run the aisles and they worship and they're so anointed and they're slain in the spirit and the Holy Ghost is falling and the ministers are performing all kinds of gifts and they're so carried away. It has to be this way, friends. She didn't know she's carried. She knew she had something that Adam never had. Isn't that amazing? Her pastor husband, she knew more than he did. Well, that'll puff a person up. You see plenty of people talking about, well, I see more than my pastor. I don't agree with this, whatever. Friends, Brother Branham said, you don't get any higher than your pastor. So if you see more than him, you better go find another pastor. Oh, yeah, that bites, doesn't it? For people. That way. He said, perhaps she'd be able to rule over him now because she knew more about it, her Adam. The church wanting to rule over Christ. See more than he does. More than the word. I see more than the word. I see more than my pastor. I see more than Christ. I got more. Is what is it? It's Satan said, I will exalt myself like the Most High. They're fulfilling that word, friends. She sees more. The church sees more. than the ministry that God sent to them. Friends, I see it all the time. People, let me keep going. Watch what the Adams are doing today. Now, see, look, what are the Adams doing today? What did Adam do? He compromised. He said, well, yeah, I'll go along with you. That's what they're doing today. They're preaching a message that'll tickle the ears of these people. They're preaching the kind of message these people want, because all they want to do is come to church and shout and jump and scream. They don't want the rebuke about the idolatry in their lives. And usually it's a religious idolatry. She knew good from evil, fine education of the truth. That's right. She had a fine education of the truth she didn't know before, and it was God's truth. Look how close this is, friends. It's the message of the hour. It was God's truth, and it's something she didn't know before. But she was dead by breaking the word. Dead by breaking the word. Brother Bram says it's the complete, total insanity this world will go into right away. He said this back in 1965. The complete, total insanity the world will go into right away. It's almost there now. Why? You can see the footsteps of it. There it is. It's marching right out on the street, right down the church pew. Total insanity. Do things that a human being wouldn't think of doing and be civilized. Well, we can look at 2022 and see that that is totally, totally fulfilled here in 2022. Doing things that people, you're going to give surgery to a kid and change him from a boy to a girl and vice versa. A kid who's not even gone through puberty yet or just starting to go through puberty, and they know already what they want to be, and they can tell that they're not this or that. It's nothing but spirits. It's evil spirits, friends. And that is total insanity, given puberty blockers and everything else. But how did the world get insane, friends? Because the moon went insane first. When the word is being preached across the pulpits, it keeps those demons at bay. You go back, Brother Bram talked about the Welsh revival, and there's such a revival across the land, they didn't need police anymore. They emptied the jails. Why? Because that preaching of the word kept the demons back. The believers had enough power within themselves that kept them back. But in this age, because the pulpits are insane, the people have gone insane. Don't look at the Baptists and the Catholics for that. We're talking message preachers who have gone insane, and that's why the world has gone insane. Because what happened from 2017 to now, 5 years ago, look at the downward trend of the morality of this country since then. Look at the incredible insanity that has gone. God showed it in the sign across the heavens that you message believers are completely in the darkness, and the whole world has gone insane because of it. Completely insane. Because the message believers, those message preachers, let down the bars, they let down the standard, and they're projecting something that's not Christ at all. The church, their insanity. And church after church is chock full of these people. And that's why they go to church, just to get their high. Give me another drug here, Pastor. Shoot me up again. Look what high was done to the woman. Look how it has robbed the sacred virtues of the woman. Oh, on and on we could go. All that she has lost. How does she do it? Because there's a subtle instrument called the church. It starts with the church, friends. Like there was in the Garden of Eden, a subtle person, the devil, walked into the church just like it did in the Garden of Eden and deceived her into it. That's where the insanity comes from, friends. It comes from the church. She deceived. She didn't mean to be wrong. Eve didn't mean to do wrong. It wasn't willfully. These people don't mean to be wrong. They got an experience. They think that's all it took. And they gave that experience and it anoints the gifts they have. It begins in the church, friend. Let me find one more. Lost my quote. Hang on a second. Okay, here we go. If Satan can't keep the truth from them, he makes fanatics out of them. Throw them off on this side and that side. They get all kinds of stuff, blood and oil and sensations, not even scriptural. Well, friends, message believers are wise enough not to go for that kind of stuff. They'll take you right to the Word. They'll take you to the Word and show, here it is in the Word. Well, then what's wrong with that? Because they don't go through the whole Word. Just part of it. Enough to build themselves up, to exalt them, their ministry. He said, stay on the blueprint, stay on the highway, stay with the Scripture, don't leave it. That's why Jesus come, that man would not be deceived and go out to the side, but stay right in the Word. The great Paul, St. Paul said, if an angel from heaven come and preach any other gospel than this that's been preached, he'll let him be accursed. Satan come down in the Garden of Eden and his angel of light and told Eve, he never denies that, oh, well, that's not right. Oh, sure, God said that, but you know, you'll have more light. That's exactly what they're saying today. You'll have more light. We got so many Eve lights today and Satan lights. They come and they present themselves as an angel of light. They present themselves as a minister of the truth. And they have the anointings and the baptism to back them up. And they can take quotes and prove by those quotes that they're right. But where is Christ? Where is the character of Christ being formed in them? Where is the word for this day being manifest? And it's an individual thing. It's not, well, what is the whole bride supposed to be doing? The whole bride, nothing. It's you, the individual. And when God comes to you and reveals himself to you as an individual, and that word starts living in you, and you live by it day by day, then you know who you are. It's not the group. It's you. It's one person here, one person there. We got to get rid of that whole denominational mindset. Well, the bride, our church does this, our church does that. Your church, nothing. That's what the prophet said. Go talk to him about it. It's you, the individual. And when the word doesn't excite you, when the word is just something you do, when your religion is something you do on Sunday, or yeah, I listen to tape once in a while, I pray some. If that's all your relationship with this Christ, brother and sister, stop pretending you're going in the raptures. Stop pretending you're born again. And I don't care how religious you are. You might read your Bible 24 hours a day. That still doesn't mean you know Christ at all. You have to know him personally for yourself, and no one can tell you except him himself. Your new birth is him revealing himself to you personally, and you can't say, well, I do this and I do that. It's Christ. It's the revelation. The faith itself is your evidence. I know I am because God has revealed it to me. Well, how do you know? Because I have faith that tells me that. It's not something in my head. It's not the way I live. It's something that's been anchored in my soul, and God, Satan can't take it out. No one can preach it out of there. No one can convince me as otherwise, and Satan brings all kinds of evidence. Well, you wouldn't do that if you're born again. You wouldn't do that if you're born again, and I say, Satan, I would believe what I believed if I wasn't born again. It's not a doctrine. It's not a sensation. It's not some kind of anointing I had. It's something that's been anchored inside. Oh, hallelujah. And Satan has tried all he can, and God has let him. God has allowed him to test me and try me. He has tested you, and he's tried you. What's he doing? It's God letting Satan prove to you who you are. Hallelujah. That's what the tests are for, so that God allows Satan to come against you to prove to you who you are. Because if you were not born again, you would fall away, or you would slide, or you would quit believing. But something stays anchored inside of you. Why? Because it's a proof that you are born again. Those tests, friends, are the greatest thing that ever happened to you. Those trials, those sorrows, those losses, because something keeps holding you. In the midst of it, you say, how can I still be a believer? How can I still trust God? Hallelujah. And something inside says, yeah, but you do anyway. You still do in spite of all Satan's arguments. You still do in spite of all that's going on. Why? Because something anchored, and God allowed you to go through that trial to prove to you who you are. God knows who you are. Do you? Do you know who you are? Has it been anchored inside? Is it something that's I don't know for sure? I was at a youth retreat for young men this past weekend, and the minister on Sunday morning, he was just very straightforward. There's about 30 young men sitting there. He said, how many of you know, without a shadow of a doubt, you know that you're born again? And these were boys who had gone to youth camp after youth camp after youth camp. They had shouted, they had sang, they had worshiped, they had been slain in the Spirit, they had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and out of 30 people, three of them raised their hand. Only three. That's the state of this message among our young people. They're being lied to. Because under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, they couldn't just do a social, oh yeah, everyone raise your hand. People think you're not born again. No, they stood there in an honesty and they looked and they had dropped their heads and they say, yeah, I don't know for sure. The moon is insane. It's lying to these people. How many of their moms and dads, if they would be honest, would do the same thing? They don't know that they know. Why? Because they've been lied to. They've accepted some kind of substitute. Some kind of substitute sensation. Some kind of substitute. It's, look, friends, it's the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is. I spoke to him the next morning. I said, What Brother Rand said, you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the anointing on you every day of your life and die and go to hell. And afterwards, some of the brothers went up to another minister there. I was gone by that time. They said, what was he talking about? They didn't know that? Who's preaching to them? How much attention are they paying in church? Maybe it's being preached to them, but they're too busy with other things to listen. Friends, God ain't playing church, and neither is Satan. Satan's doing all he can to deceive every one of us into thinking we're ready to go when we're not. Oh, my. We got so many evil lights today and Satan lights, and the Bible said in the last day that the devil would make himself angels of light. All these creeds and denominations, all this nonsense that goes on, half of it doesn't even have any scripture, hardly. That's what's going on, friends. It's in the church. The church has lost her mind. She's insane. Total darkness. I don't care how much they preach the message of the hour. They quote the prophet. They quote the Bible. It doesn't mean anything if they have added or taken away one word. And instead, they give them some kind of a easy salvation, an easy birth. Get the kids to the altar. Get the kids to the altar. And deceive them. That's not their intention. They are sincere. There is intent. They're sincere. They love those kids. They want to see them saved as much as they can. But if you're deceived, you're blind. And the blind lead the blind. Friends, if you have been called out of that, if you are sitting in a place this morning where you can see that I haven't been called, that I have seen the difference, I have walked in the light, it's because God ordained you for it. Don't sit there thinking you're special. Don't sit there, well, I'm spiritual. Well, I see more. Well, I know more than these other people. No, you're not. You were just chosen. It wasn't your choice to begin with. He asked you, and he knew that you're going to say yes. And so you said yes. Well, I know. I knew you would. Brother Branham said, you are not saved any day. I love this one. He said, you are always saved. Amen. You just recognized it. And here you were down on this earth. And some of us can speak to this very strongly, and we are looking for something. There's something inside calling us. There's something inside we couldn't find satisfaction. And so we believed Satan's lie, and we ran over here. You know why a lot of us did? Because what we're getting across the pulpit wasn't true anyways. What we're getting across the pulpit wasn't going to satisfy it anyways. That makes people upset. And so we ran over here and tried Satan's slop over here. It didn't satisfy. We ran over here, tried Satan's slop over here. It didn't satisfy. People looking at us, what is wrong with that boy? And we ran over, tried this. We ran over, tried this. We tried going to church. It wouldn't satisfy. So we left church and we tried something else. And we're running here and there looking for something to satisfy. And one day you heard a voice. Can I tell you something? It was not the voice of William Branham. It wasn't the voice of your pastor, your mom, or your dad. It was a voice of God. It was a voice of your bridegroom saying, hey, I want to marry you. What? Me? Do you see how nasty I am? I see what's on the inside. You heard that scream, and you tried to jump up. You tried to fly, and you couldn't fly. See, I don't know how to fly. See, I just put your wings out and jump. And so you know what we did? We put our wings out. We jumped. We started going up. We started flapping our wings. Trying to live good enough. Trying to live, oh, I got to try hard. I got to try harder. And you fell back down to earth. You give up and you quit trying. Then you heard that voice again and say, come on. You're still mine. Try again. So you jump up, now set your wings, and you flap, 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 and you fall back down. How many times did I do that? Trying to fly. Don't tell a bird to try to fly, Brother Paul. You fly, eagle, you jump up there, you set your wings, and the wind lifts you. And all your friends or family are hanging to their chickens. They don't have hands, right? So they're using their wings to try to swat you back down. They're trying to grab you with their beak, whatever. Come back down. You're going to be a fanatic. Come back down here. What are you doing? But you quit looking down. Because all you see is your past. Oh, God. You quit looking down at all your failures. You quit looking down at what you came out of. And you look up. And you see a great being flying up there. He said, come on up. You've been raptured. That's what it means to be the bride of Christ today. Can you speak to that? Can you witness to that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me finish up here. That's what the gospel always does. It opens the eyes of some, reveals the truth of some, while it blinds the others. Has a twofold meaning. Some can take that sun, look straight into it, and go blind. Others can take it, walk out with them. It's the difference. The truth blinds some people and opens the eyes of others. His bride is the anointed one for this day. It's already raised with him in the resurrection because those two are one. You hear what he said? You're already raised in the resurrection. The rapture is already on, friends. Rapture is already on. We are now in the resurrection. We are sitting with him in the resurrection. Only those who have life, not those who do not have life, they won't know it. They'll never know it. They'll go right on thinking they're getting the Holy Ghost, being saved. And the rapture will done be over with and gone. You can see it all over right now, friends. I'm not saying at all that you cannot still be born again. I will never say that, brother and sister, because that was I was taught. And no, that was a lie. Whenever that time comes, that's going to be God. He shuts the door. He's the only one that can do that. But I'm not. But I am saying this: if you are in the bride, you're already in the rapture. And some of us have been in this for a while, and we're way down the road. And other people are going to have to catch up. That's those 11th hour workers we talked about a few sermons ago. The hour has arrived now that he wants to get a church ready. I'm going to say this with a prophetic voice. I trust. I'm not saying in the name of the Lord, but I believe this is true. You'll be talking about the rapture when the rapture's been gone a long time. Oh, my. That's where we are, friends. It's an amazing place to be. It's a great and terrible day. Great and terrible day. 1977 was exactly what the prophet said. It happened exactly the way he said. And here we are. We're seeing the word for this day being fulfilled. And if we can recognize the difference between the false and the true, you're in a good place. Amen. I think I can quit. Notice, being personally identified by the original headship, we have the answer to the devil's question. What's the devil's question? Who are you? He said, God proved himself to his promise in this day. The headship is here. I just got so many quotes where he said it over and over. I'm just saying that to let you know. It's not just me saying it, friends. It's not just something he said here randomly. But he said this over and over. This is who we are. Go ahead and stand. We see the scripture being fulfilled. He is here. He is here in his headship. He is here in his original headship, the capstone. The bride and Christ have become one. We are in the resurrection now. The rapture is a process that we are going. We are longing towards the end of it. And the world is getting worse and worse. And the reason it is, you know who's going to be responsible for that stuff happening all around us? Lying message preachers. Because we had the message. This message should have gone out, and it should have done what it's supposed to. Well, it did what it's supposed to do, but it should have kept that darkness at bay. But it didn't. Because there's too many liars. They don't know better, friends. The world has chosen what they have chosen. This last week, Tuesday was an election, right? And many conservatives thought there's going to be what they called a red wave, where a lot of the Democrats would be put out of the Senate, put out of the House of Representatives, the Congress, and all that. So we had red, you know, the conservatives take over. It didn't happen. Here's why. Conservatives look at that and say, surely, with all this insanity going on out there, enough good people stand up and say, enough of this. They didn't. Why not? They love the God they serve. They love their immorality. They love the perversion. Go back a night, back in World War II, the war was almost over. Hitler knew he was beat. And what he did towards the end of the war, he diverted lots of resources from the war effort to take more Jews and get the Jews killed as fast as he could. He knew he had a little bit of time. He had to kill as many Jews as he could. He was willing to let the war, Germany, just go completely to pot and be defeated in order to kill as many Jews as he could. He knew he had a short time. Friends, that's what's happening. These people know they're in open rebellion against God. And they might not even believe in God, but in their subconscious, they know they're open rebellion. And they say, you know what? I know the economy's going to crash here. Inflation is destroying us. We have so many percentage of people not even going to be able to afford Thanksgiving dinner this year because they can't afford to buy the food. But I'm going to vote to keep this regime in place because I love my rebellion. I love my perversion. I love not being held accountable for my actions. Same spirit, a spirit of rebellion. I will decide for myself. I just saw a poll recently. 42% of Americans believe that they make their own truth. That you can tell in your own spirit what's true, so you decide for yourself what's true. 29% believe you should use the Bible. 20-some percent think you should just go somewhere else for your truth. We're insane. Our pulpits are insane. Our message to believers are insane. They're looking for an easy way out, so there's no accountability. All I have to do is go and get in the spirit, go to church and get in the spirit and worship and shout and jump and scream and believe what the preacher's preaching and I'm going to be fine. They're being bound into bundles. This kills me, friends, to say this. They're being bound into bundles to be burned. Friends, don't ever give up on them. Pray for them. There's going to be multitudes. Brother Branham said they'll be saved that are not bride. Multitudes. Be that light that they can see that light. Give them a chance. Amen. God bless you. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful you would come this morning. Bring us an anointing. Bring us the word. Father, I believe this is what you had on my heart to say. I believe I said it. I'm sorry that I chopped it up so much. It didn't come. Maybe it's the way you wanted exactly, but Father, I believe you got the word out. I just pray that the hearts that heard it would receive it. They would examine themselves and make sure they're in the faith. Don't take some false something, some false anointing, or not a true anointing, but a false spirit or a false vessel or whatever that falseness is, a lie mixed with it, I should say, Lord. But that each one, Lord, would examine themselves and check on themselves and make sure that they are walking in the truth. Lord, watch over us, Father. Keep us. And we know you will. We know that your bride is in the palm of your hand. It's under your heart. It's under your wings. It's so many things you talk about is to give us, to tell us, to give us comfort, to give us peace in this time, knowing that everything is just falling and crumbling apart and that all the oppression of the devil is coming against your bride, trying to get her to falter, trying to get her to fall, trying to get her to lose confidence, to doubt, to fear. But you give us the word, like you do this morning, Lord, and to give us that courage to keep going. The faith revealed to us who we are. I just pray that this word will have the effect you want it to have, Lord. And if you would just come and let your spirit now water this word in our hearts so Satan can't come along and just pull it out right away, but let it grow root. Let it dig down deep. Pull out the weeds, Lord. Get the stones, the rocky ground out of the way. Let it be good ground, Lord, that the seed can have the effect that you would have it to have. We know you will, Father, because it's your promise. If we will just stay in that right atmosphere. That's what you want us to do. And that start with the right attitude, Father. So I pray for every one of us, our attitude would be good, would be right, it would be holy, be acceptable to you. Always believing your word and disbelieving Satan's lie.
I ask you these things, Lord, according to your word and in your name. Amen. Amen. Come on, brother.